Hi, this is Chelsea Vale. You have found the Whole Heart Podcast, a podcast for conscious parents who want to do things differently. Parenting the Whole Heart Way is about love, connection, play, and raising our children naturally. It can get, at times, a little bit crunchy. Let's jump in. I have been so flattered lately by the people who are reaching out on Instagram, Facebook, emailing me, just reaching out and telling me that they're loving the content and just being so supportive. And I really appreciate it. But the pressure has been on because I know it's a long time since I posted anything. So some of the people that are reaching out, they're like, oh, I just discovered your podcast. And I'm like, okay, great. That buys me a little bit of time because you're going to probably binge through the episodes and I haven't posted anything in a long time. And I know that's like career suicide, right? You're supposed to post like a couple times a week or at least once a week. But I'm a very busy woman, and I just started a Waldorf school. You're going to hear a little bit about it at the end of this episode, but that's where my focus has been. That's where my passion has been, and also just being a mom and just being really present for my kids. So I wanted to share with you, I had a really great experience with somebody in Bozeman. So we're living in Bozeman, Montana now, and she's fabulous. She's a healer. She's a shaman. She's a therapist. She's a mother. She's just everything. And I spent a few much needed hours with her, putting together a spiritual altar, talking about my journey in life, sharing with her my struggles. And it just so happened that the day that I met with her was like one of the worst mom days I've ever had. Like those days where you actually feel like a cartoon, you're wondering if there's steam coming out of your ears. You feel like there's probably this like dark cloud of like energy around you. And you keep doing laundry. And I even like cleaned my car. I detail cleaned my car to keep from like murdering my children. They were driving me completely insane. And I don't actually think that I talked to Justin for like the last few hours before I left. I was like, I'm going to kill everybody. I'm going to set the house on fire. I'm so mad. Like nothing was going well. Nothing was going right. Now, when you have those kinds of days, you want to think to yourself, my kids, my kids, my kids, my kids. More often than not, it's not the kids. It's you. In this situation, it was me. I drank too many cups of coffee, and I'm one of those people who, if I drink two cups or more, I'm like vibrating out of the coffee house or even like around the living room. I just get really anxious and nervous. I have this kind of sense of urgency that, you know, really isn't even there. I mean, I have nothing to do, but I feel this sense of urgency. So I broke my rule and I had more than two cups of coffee because it tasted so good and it was like a relaxing Saturday. And it just, I was anxious. I also didn't really sleep well the night before. I wasn't eating the way that I normally do that day. I was trying to do too many things. I was trying to fit in far too many things into our day. And I had too many things on my mind. I wasn't being really present with my children. And so what do kids do? They do everything they possibly can to get your attention. And very rarely do they come up and go, Mommy, I need your attention right now. Could you sit down and read me a book and snuggle? No, they go batshit crazy. They climb the rafters. They, you know, spread their poop on the wall, which nobody did. But you know what I mean? Like they just get wild. They get weird. And you start going, what the hell is wrong with you? But it's not the kids. Okay. Kids are fine. Kids come into this world with everything they need to be successful and to thrive and to be good people. If you're having one of those days, your kids are trying to tell you, hey, Mom, I need your attention. I need you to be more present. I need you to chill out. Kids can also feel your angst and so on. And they feel it, but they can't quite put their finger on it. So they act out. So instead of blaming our children, we have to look at ourselves. So here I go. I'm in this, you know, beautiful yurt with this therapist. And I walk in and I said, I had a terrible mom day. I'm going to need you to like cleanse my energy, like burn some sage or some Palo Alto and like get me together. And she's like, okay, have a seat, you know? So anyway, we have this experience and I was feeling so open and so just calm and getting everything off my chest. And I was crying and I was venting and I was sharing and we were, you know, making connections to things. And I get to a place where I said, okay, I'm okay being by myself for a little while. Let me work through some things on my own. And she leaves. And anyway, while she was gone, I'm still listening to some music. And I listened to this song that, y'all, it is just amazing. And I want to play it for you, but I'm not sure if I'm even going to be able to like find it or do it justice. But it was just so powerful. And it suddenly was like, hearing this song, I got up and I started just dancing because I was like, this song is speaking to me. It felt like everything I needed to hear. It felt like everything that I was complaining about, that I was bitching about, that I was struggling with, that I couldn't figure out the right answers to everything. It was all in this song. So bear with me. I'm going to try to play a little bit of it for you. This is Grandmother Song by Sheffy Oren Bach.
The voice of my grandmother's calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother's song. She says, standing, your power remains standing. Your power descend, 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 descend. I hear the voice of my grandmother's calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother's song. She say, give birth, give life, mothers, give birth, give life, listen, 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 listen. I hear the voice of my grandmother's calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother's song. She say, teach them, be wise, growing, teach them, be wise, listen, 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 listen.
It's so powerful. So I was listening to the words and I just got up and I started dancing and I was like, this is exactly what I need. I hear the voice of my grandmother's calling me. Listen to your ancestors. Listen to that call that you have inside you. And if there are men listening, I'm sorry, I'm about to like female goddess out here for a second and get in touch with the goddess inside me. And you probably have a goddess inside you. But if you're mothers and you're listening to this, our world is so out of sorts right now. And there are so many messages that are being thrown at mothers daily through the news, through social media. There's so much that's put on you that it's no longer enough to quote unquote, just be a mom. And I think that's where my struggles were that day is I was thinking, well, I got to hire this, you know, perfect teacher for the school. And then I've got to help this other woman with her kids. And I have another mom who's asking me a question about her daughter. And then I've got, you know, my sister's asking me questions about their kids. And I even have like, you know, mothers of boyfriends asking me questions about their sons and, or, you know, ex-boyfriends and so on. I just felt myself going, I can't be everybody's mother. And that was part of my stress. And in some ways I've set myself up to be that way, by being a parent coach. But what I'm not doing, or what I was definitely not doing that weekend, is I wasn't being fully present with my children. And I have taken on so much trying to be the perfect real estate agent, trying to invent new products for my medical line, trying to start the school, all of this. And I was going, wait. I just need to be with my kids. I just need to be a mom. I won't feel the stress that I feel. And a lot of those things were and are passion projects of mine. But at the end of the day, I feel the most fulfilled and the happiest, and I am the calmest when I'm just being a mom, when I'm just being with my children. And I think that the media and this, I just want to say them, they, this like proverbial they that's telling all of us, you know, you don't have to be a mom. You can be more than that. You can be a career girl. You know, you can do this and you can do that. Everybody wants you out of the home. They want you in the workforce. And if you work, if you have to work, if you choose to work, whatever, that's your choice. But you also, when you're being a mom, love being a mom. Try to find joy with being in the home. Find joy when you're cleaning, because when you are cleaning and you're finding joy and you're singing, your children will grow to see that. They will love you for doing the work with goodness and with kindness. Mother Teresa said, do ordinary things with extraordinary love. And I think sometimes we as women get so caught up in wanting to find a great purpose, wanting to reach our highest potential. But we have been given an amazing gift, which is we can create life. We get to give birth. And that calling inside of us, that tick, 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 that biological clock, that is our grandmother song, okay? That is our ancestral cry in us to create, to give life, to nurture our children, to love our children. And in nurturing our children, we nurture ourselves. think about those moments when your baby was so little and you were nursing it and you were exhausted and your body was tired and your nipples were fucking cracking and bleeding. And for whatever reason, you were smiling like the village idiot, okay? It's because nurturing something smaller than you and loving something so hard, you feel love in return. Maybe you're in a single parent home. I certainly was for 4 years. And I struggled with, okay, I'm a mom and I'm also incredibly feminine. I consider myself like the epitome of female. I'm kind of fragile. I can be sort of weak in some ways. I started taking on more masculine qualities, and trying to fix things around the house and trying to be tough. And I was definitely providing and protecting, and I was doing everything that I thought a father would do, but I knew that I couldn't provide everything for my children. I also didn't have the foresight to know that I was going to find a partner to share in this life with me at that time. But I knew that there was value in having a man, masculine role models in my life for complementary characteristics and good balance. And so I surrounded myself with men when I was a single mom. Wasn't really dating. I mean, I was dating, but I wasn't bringing dates to the house. So that was not something that my kids witnessed. They didn't see my dating life because Lord knows in Austin, I dated just about everybody. But they didn't meet those. They met male friends of mine, male friends that could throw a frisbee around, that could make gun noises and play dinosaurs and wrestle and help build and mow the lawn and do the kinds of things that I know that a male partner would have done in my life. And I wanted them to see that. These were also good friends of mine. And so it was the way that they treated me and respected me was very different than what the boys had seen with their own father and the way that he treated me in front of them. And so I thought that that was very important to have that complementary balance. Now, if you're in a same-sex home, I'm not trying to exclude you. I imagine that there are compliments or balance between the two of you as well. And I think that it's perfectly okay if you're in a same-sex household. I'm sure that you both have qualities that are the masculine and the feminine, and you're providing that balance to children. Masculine and feminine, it's in every story, every fairy tale, because it's an archetype. I mean, it's an example of an archetype that's in us, just like there are, there's evil in all of us. There's demons, there's good, there's bad, there's ugly. We all have a hero or a heroine inside of us. We all have a grandmother inside of us. These are archetypes that we possess. And I'm so tired of people saying that, Disney is racist or Disney is bigoted or whatever because of the princesses and the way that they're portrayed as fragile and weak. They're not implying in the fairy tales that all women are feminine and all women need to be rescued. The females and the princess and that fragility is representing the archetype that we all have inside of us, which is that weakness, that naivety, that fragility, insecurity, inferiority, whatever is being displayed in the movie or the show or the song, the fairy tale, what have you, that is meant to draw on something that is inside of you, not just as a female, but even as a male. You can relate to that. You can empathize with that princess who is prisoner and who feels weak and is rescued by somebody that is gallant and that is brave and is strong. And when you see that, you go, oh, I want to be brave. That feels amazing. I want to rescue something smaller than me. I want to care for something smaller than me. Or when I see someone in danger, I want to be the hero, right? Doesn't matter your sex. Doesn't matter your gender. Doesn't even, your sexuality doesn't matter. But there is a purpose to the masculine and the feminine and the balance that is achieved and how that helps a child feel centered and grounded and balanced as well. And again, just to reiterate, we're in danger if we try to pretend as though there isn't masculine and feminine, or if we try to merge the sexes, or if we try to, make the princesses in the stories a little bit more masculine, or we make the heroes in the stories a little bit more feminine, then you're missing the point. There is supposed to be strong archetypes in all of these situations, just like in the home. You're supposed to model all sides of self. Blending everything doesn't help you have any grounding, and kind of misses the purpose of sharing fairy tales and having a balanced home with complementary roles and complementary genders and qualities. I'm wondering how many people are like me and are just obsessed with Candace Owens. She's one of my favorite public figures at this moment because she is just ballsy as hell. And in some ways, I think back to when I worked at the Children's Hospital and this one girl came up to me one day and she said, "I was at the zoo this weekend and my husband and I were thinking about you when we were in the bat exhibit." And I went, "What? The bats?" And she said, "Yeah, the bats would come up to the cage. They would right up against the glass and they had these huge hairy gray bat balls." And she starts laughing and I said, "Why did that make you think of me?" And she said, "Because you have like the biggest balls. Like you're not scared of anything." And I knew what she meant and it's just kind of stuck with me and I laugh because I, in that job, in that workplace, I was kind of ballsy. I stood up to the man who at that time was my female boss, who was a raging bitch. And I stood up to her and I stood up to her for the department and for parents and families and other people that were affected by her black cloud. And I had big balls. And Candace Owens right now, her balls are so big and she is basically like facing the media, the government, Ukraine, Russia. Like she's not scared. And she's outing the CDC, she's outing everybody. And one of the things that she's been saying so much that I love the way she phrases it is, "Mothers, you are the CEO of your home. Whatever your job is outside the workspace," because she's a working mother as well, her child is definitely like her top priority. And I know that it is for all of you as well. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to a parenting episode, right? But when she says that, it's like, yeah, that's where your pride needs to be. You are the CEO of your home. You are in charge of its environment, its safety, its cleanliness. You're in charge of your child. That is your baby. No one can tell you what to do with that baby or that child unless you consent. And it makes me think of when my nephew was born as well. And this is a good example of like how we need to start being ballsier as women. Embrace your femininity, just like that song said. Embrace your female power. Stand in your power. Don't let anybody tell you what you can and can't do as a woman, but also don't believe the lie that you have to be masculine to get shit done. Your female power is fierce. Don't try to disguise that or try to think that you need to be in a man's world to be fierce. Stand in your power, women. Listen to what you're meant to do and stand up. Trust your gut, trust your intuition, and be the CEO of your own home. So when my nephew was born, he was born in a hospital in Arkansas and he was born through emergency C-section. And they took him away from my sister. She never even got to meet him. They took him into the nursery. I come in, I see him. He is arching his back, flailing, screaming, splaying his fingers and his toes, covered in Vernix, which is perfectly normal and natural. That's what you're meant to have on your body when you're little. That's that creamy white stuff that's all over the baby. It's supposed to protect you from illnesses and it's supposed to protect the skin and it's like it's supposed to be there and you should never wash a baby or wash that off of a baby, especially without the mother's consent, but God forbid in the first few minutes of birth, like stop. So they grab my screaming nephew and they're scrubbing him. And I'm not talking like gentle, like washing, wiping him down, scrubbing him, and he is flailing and screaming at the top of his lungs. He has not met his mother yet. And I am banging on the glass. I'm like, oh, hell no. He's only been around in this world for minutes. There needs to be some serenity, some zen, some calm. He is transitioning from the ethereal world into the physical world, and this is awful. And this is probably why he's such a rage baby now, and he's like seven. But that was his like entrance to the world. And anyway, I go and I call my partner at the time and I'm bawling. And he says, "That is our baby. Like that is your sister's baby. That's part of our family. Go to the nurse, tell them that's unacceptable, make shit happen." And in the hospital where I used to work, I had no problem doing that. But here I am in another state. I don't know the hospital. I don't know anybody. But I thought, no, you know what? You're right. They don't own that baby. They're treating that baby like he's just another number. He is in our family. That is our baby. And I went to the nurse manager and I said, "I am outraged at the care that my nephew is receiving. Tell that nurse that he does not get a bath until his mother consents. Swaddle him up tight, lay him in the bassinet, and take him to my sister's room right now." And she's all frazzled. "Well, that's just the way we do it." I go, "Well, it's not the way you're going to do it today. Wrap him up. My sister needs to meet him. He needs to meet his mother. Tell them to stop now, or I need to speak with your manager. She goes, I am the manager. I go, great. Thank you for listening. That's the kind of stuff that we need to do in our world. We need to stand up to teachers who are telling us we need to mask our perfectly healthy children. We need to stand up to the school boards that are closing down because one child in the school has COVID that has a 99.98% cure rate for children, let alone everybody else. We need to stand up to the CDC when they say that our children need 74 vaccines in their lifetime. They need, like, I can't even remember the numbers, a ridiculous amount before they're even 1 year old. All of the vaccines which have been directly linked to childhood illnesses, weakened gait, poor eyesight, frequent ear infections, food allergies, a whole heap of other things. We have to stand up to the CDC. And even though the CDC is protected from lawsuits, tell your doctor you will sue if there is damage. Tell your doctor that if they're bullying you. You are in charge of your baby. There is no reason that you have to go and do a well check it. It is time that we start living the way the rest of the world lives and not falling into the mainstream narrative of America. And one of the problems I think that a lot of Americans have, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, is a lot of Americans don't travel outside of the country. Maybe you don't have the financial means. Maybe you've never thought it was possible. Maybe you can't get the time off of work. Maybe you just never had the opportunity, whatever it is. There are a lot of Americans that have not traveled outside the world, but you can also research about the rest of the world. And believe it or not, there's a lot of things that we do in America the rest of the world is like laughing at because it's dangerous. It's awful. Like, we're the most overfed country, but also the unhealthiest, the weakest in so many ways. Like, our immune systems, our mental health, everything is trash. Our education department, our healthcare, all of that. I mean, we're the only country that really even like circumcises, you know, we're told that it's cleaner. Not necessarily. It's not cleaner. All of the things that they tell you about it, it's not actually true. Same thing with vaccines. But I'm telling you this because we as women, we're going to be the ones that save America. And I heard that from Dr. Robert Malone. He said, America will be saved by a bunch of pissed off moms. Now, if you're around the rest of the world right now and you're listening to this podcast, because I know I have listeners in UK and Australia, Africa, and so on. If you're listening to this, I hope that you're going, yes, yes, yes. And knowing that even though some things are done in America, there are still some of us that are wishing that things were different. Many of the things that you're probably seeing in the news right now, it's just like, what in the hell is going on? We're going to lose the culture war. We're going to lose respect. We're going to lose our children. And their future will be in danger if we don't speak up and start being the CEO of our own home and start doing things counterculturally. If you feel yourself saying, well, I don't want another mom to think dot, 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 forget that. Let it go. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you. You choose the education you want for your child. You choose the religion that you want in your home. You choose how to decorate. You choose where you want to live. If you want your child playing in the mud, I mean, my kids look like riffraff every day, but I don't care because I know they're having fun. Today, my kid was covered in mud. Covered. And his hair was like ragged, but it's because he was playing at the park and he was sweaty. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't want my kid to be in this perfect freaking Pottery Barn looking outfit, you know, with whatever monogrammed on it that he doesn't feel like he can play and get messy. Don't succumb to that kind of stuff, that pressure. People that are saying, well, I want my child to be, you know, ready for college and they're in kindergarten right now. It's like, let that go. College is not even going to be a thing. It's already losing its power. It's already like completely disrespected by mainstream. And most entrepreneurs would rather you have a gap year between high school and college where you travel the world and you come back and you are innovative and you have an expanded worldview and you're independent and you're mature and you've had some fucking experiences and stories to share. They'd rather bring you in. I mean, half of Silicon Valley won't hire you unless you've done a few mushroom trips or tried some acid or some like DMT. If you've done some DMT in the jungle, you're more likely to get a job at Google than just about anybody with a college degree. And it's because you've expanded the mind, because you live counterculturally, because you don't succumb to pressure. And what they see in that is someone who thinks outside the box, and who does what they want to do and who is interested in being creative and innovative, right? So these people that are telling you, well, don't you want your child to go to a good college? And don't you want your child to graduate early? And don't you want your child to have like the best education possible? No, I want my child to play in the forest. I want my child to build with clay. I want my child to know how to learn their hand, like use their hands and build things. I want my child to learn how to have a conversation with someone and not be bullied into believing the same thing that they do. I want my child to be an independent thinker and think critically about certain issues. I want my child to be well-read and be exposed to truth, beauty, and goodness through the humanities and through literature, classic literature. There's so much more that we should want for our kids rather than succumbing to the prison pipeline, which has become, that's what public schools have become. When they go to well check visits, how many of you feel bullied by your doctor to do this, 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 and this? How many of you leave thinking, oh my God, my child's in X percentile, and suddenly this stranger has evaluated your child and told you that they're not healthy or that they need to do, you know, all of these other things. The pressures are so much on moms. Stop it. You are the CEO of your home. You are in charge. The doctor works for you. The teacher works for you. The minister works for you. Wherever you go with your child and your family, you're the goddamn boss. They work for you. You have to do the research and inform yourself, educate yourself, be firm in your choices and your decisions. Don't do anything just because everybody else does it. Live your life the way you want to live. Be authentic to yourself. That is what your child needs to see, that its mom was not only a divine goddess with either strong feminine qualities or strong masculine qualities, who has a partner who mirrored those qualities and respected those qualities. Be a boss. Feel that power within, stand in your power, and be the divine goddess that you are. You are the CEO of your own home. If you're hearing any of that and you're experiencing guilt, let it go. Let it go. Whatever decisions you've made in the past that you wish you would have made differently, let it go. I have made so many mistakes in my life, but you are the perfect, imperfect design. It may not be what you do that matters, but what you do after what you have done. For example, if you chose a crappy childcare, which trust me, I did. I put my kids in a daycare for like a week after I had taught at the school. I had educated the teachers how to be better teachers. And then once my kids were there, I went, what in the hell is going on here? I pulled them out so fast. I gave up everything. I had paid for that program and I gave it up because I was like, this is a disaster. I didn't have any guilt over that because you don't know what you don't know. You do your best with the information that's been provided to you. If you feel guilty, that is what someone else wants you to feel. Let it go. Be in the moment. Be present. Love wholeheartedly. Do the best that you can do. I had somebody tell me that her daughter, she described her as not neurotypical, and I haven't really spent much time with her, and so I don't know the daughter very well. And I said, when you say not neurotypical, or you compare her to neurotypical kids, what's going on with her? And she said, oh, well, she's got dyslexia, and she named a couple of other learning disabilities. And she said, I didn't even notice for so long, and she would cry, and she would get so upset, and she was, I'm dumb, and I can't do anything, and you know, all of these beliefs that she's had about herself. And she's like, she cries and she thinks she's just not smart and it's my fault. And I went, whoa, whoa, stop, stop, stop. That experience, okay, not knowing that she was dyslexic and not knowing that this was a struggle, that's part of the design. You got to let the guilt go, because right now what she's feeling is dumb and stupid and weak and incapable. And you as the mother, of course you want to protect her from that, but stop, but you can't. So what happens when she's 30, 35 years old is she is probably going to spend most of her life being sure that she never makes anybody feel stupid or weak or not smart or incapable. All of those feelings that she's been allowed to feel because of your quote unquote mistakes, that will be a gift to society later as she grows. So with you and your children, you have to look at them and go, I let them get hurt. Is that my fault? No, they got hurt. They got hurt. You didn't let them get hurt. They got hurt. They got sick. Is that your fault? No, they have to get sick. That's part of growth and development. Fever is part of the growth journey. Sickness, hurt, disappointment, angst, embarrassment, Shame. We cannot protect our children from that. Those things are meant to be felt. That is how we develop the whole person, the whole child. When we protect our children from feeling any of those things, they don't develop empathy. They don't develop awareness. In fact, they may grow up as complete narcissists who are unaware that the rest of the world has feelings because they've never been allowed to feel anything other than perfect. It is a gift to our children when we are brave, when we are humble, when we make mistakes, when we allow mistakes to happen in the home, and when we acknowledge our mistakes. So gift your children your perfectly imperfect self. Thank you so much for listening. If you have not gone to wholeheartcrunchyparenting.com in a while, please do and join the tribe. You can join for $25 a month, which is a very small fee. Come on, guys. It's like four Starbucks, right? If not less than that. If you get a Venti or a Grande, it's even more than that. So if you join for about $25 a month, you have access to exclusive content on my members only page. You can also subscribe to the podcast and get some exclusive episodes for subscribers through Anchor. It's only about $4.99 a month, I think it is. But this helps me to take on some more of my passion projects, helps me to continue providing more content for you guys. It's also very motivating when people subscribe because that helps me to know that you like what you hear. Please continue to support the podcast however you can. Please like, comment, share, subscribe, and let friends and family know about the podcast as well. That definitely helps me to continue doing what I'm doing. Thank you again for listening. Be well. I want to take a moment to tell each of you about the Waldorf School, the Waldorf Forest School that I've started here in Bozeman, Montana. It's been a dream of mine for a while, and I knew I couldn't start one in Austin because there is already a fabulous Waldorf school there. There's also a couple of spinoff and Waldorf-inspired programs. It would have been very difficult for me to have the land and the space that I wanted in Austin. We tried out Bend, Oregon for a little while, but politically, I just did not jive. And if you could tell by some of the tone in some of my episodes, I was a little angry, a little cynical. There was just a weird, dark energy in that area, and I just was not vibing with it. My partner and I both felt like we were just sort of struggling to connect with people, and it just felt kind of icky. So we've come here to Bozeman, and we bought a 1930s log cabin that's been fully remodeled on the inside, but there is a detached three-car garage that we are converting into part of the school. Some of it will be workspace for the kiddos. But the best part of the property is that it is it sits on 5.5 acres that backs up to a creek. And there's a meadow where we're probably going to be putting either a yurt or a geodome. Most of the property is hiking trails and timber. We've hung some natural play equipment, climbing rope tunnels, and we put some logs out yesterday for a circle for some reading spaces or outdoor classroom, picnic tables, sand, mud, water play, so on. Now, if it sounds like it's not going to be very academic, you would be wrong. This is going to be following a true Waldorf curriculum, which if you know anything about Waldorf education from what you've heard on my episodes or your own personal research, Waldorf is highly academic, but they teach using play and magic, imagination, story, puppets, and a lot of time outside in nature. But the focus is definitely on brain and body and heart development. But also academics are usually far more advanced than what's being taught in a public school, more in line with the private school education. So we're really excited about it. We're going to be starting the Tuesday after Labor Day. And if you know anyone in the Bozeman area, or if you are like so many of the listeners that I've heard from and you're looking for a change, please reach out, chelsea@joinwholeheart.com. Space is really, really limited. Even though it's a large property, we are trying to keep it small and manageable. And we're just starting with Tribe 1 at this point, the ages 5 to 7. And we're hiring a certified Waldorf teacher to lead the children in all things Waldorf, woodworking, felting, painting, knitting, of course, all of the main lessons as well. And we are just so thrilled that this is actually coming to fruition. If you're interested in sharing this information with anyone, we have a website, epochbzn.com. That's EPOCHBZN.com. I love the name Epoch. It's actually probably pronounced Epoch or Epoch, however you want to say it. But Waldorf, I'm sorry, not Waldorf, Rudolf Steiner divided human development into 7-year epochs or epochs, E-P-O-C-H. And each one of those focuses on thinking, doing, and willing, or head, heart, hands, truth, beauty, goodness. So there's a specific realm that a child is living in each one of those epochs. And so I thought that it was the perfect name for the school. So epochbzn.com. Please check it out. Share it with friends and family in the area. And you can also support the program, which is a nonprofit. If you would like to donate, you can just go to epochbzn.com and hit the donate button. And anything that you donate to Whole Heart through the crunchyparenting.com website, that also will likely go to supporting the school, whether it's equipment or materials or just my admin duties, which are insane at this point. But whatever you do donate, it will be going to the school and to the program and to some of the other passion projects that I've added to my philanthropic to-do list, should we say, over the years. But again, I really do appreciate your support. So please go to epochbzn.com, and thank you for supporting the school.